you will, please turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 through 28. And the title of the message this morning is Motherhood, What's the Point? And it's not a joke. That's really the title of the message this morning. Motherhood, what's the point? We look in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 through 28. And I want to go to the Lord in prayer together as we get started this morning. Because we're going to be reading a few different scriptures. So I want to go ahead and go, Lord, in prayer together as we start our message. Father, we thank You, Lord, once again for this time. We pray Your blessing upon it now, God, that, Lord, it would not be anything that I could say, my wisdom, my power, God, which are non-existent. Father, I pray for Your power, for Your wisdom, God, to speak to us this morning through Your Word. And God, I just pray Your Spirit, God, would just speak to us in a very powerful way. God, we need to hear from You. We need You desperately. We were just saying, all my hope is in Jesus. We need You more than anything. We need You more than food, than water, than air, than any human relationship. We need You more than anything. And so, God, I pray we would recognize this fact and this reality. And God, that You would please, God, just fill us with Your Holy Spirit here this morning. And allow Your Word and Your message, God, to ring clearer this morning. And God, You would speak to me, speak to every person in this room, God, in a very powerful way. But we thank You, God, once again for this privilege to stand here this morning. And God, we thank You so much, Lord, for this church, this congregation, Father, this body, this family. And I pray Your blessing upon each one of them, Lord, especially our mothers here this morning. But God, we thank You again for this time and pray that You would help us now, Lord, as we deliver this message. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, what's the point? This is a question that is being asked a lot today about a lot of different subjects. What's the point? Is all of life utility? What's the point? What's the use? What difference does it make? You're here this morning. Last Sunday you weren't here. Does it matter? What difference does it make? Watch it at home? Be present in person? What difference does it make? Does it matter? Does anything have meaning or significance? If people are sick and dying, if work is shut down, if we lose our job, let's say you're going to school, you're getting trained in a certain career, what if that career goes away? If work is shut down, if school is shut down, if sports and entertainment are canceled. I mean, you've heard people say before, this person lives for UT football. And you say that in a way, exaggerating or jokingly somewhat. But I know people who pretty much live for UT football or UT basketball. What happens when they're canceled? What about when you can't do things that entertain you, you can't do your hobbies? If our economy is in jeopardy, and we could be headed into an economic depression, possibly for the first time in the history of humanity, a global economic depression. With all of this, what's the point? What if the dollar gets so inflated it's not worth anything? Do you still get up and go to work tomorrow morning for a dollar that might not be worth anything? Realistically? What's the point? Does what we do matter? You see, everything is being reevaluated right now, including the family. Because right now, families, which are usually so spread out, and they just see each other in passing, now all of a sudden families are together a lot. That might be the only person you're getting to interact with is with your family. So all these things are being reevaluated and rethought. And specifically this morning, we're looking at motherhood. As we think about motherhood, maybe a question that hits a little more closely to home would be this question. How can you bring children into a world as messed up as ours? Have you ever heard someone say that? Why would you want to bring children into this world? As evil as this world is, as messed up as this world is, and besides there's 7.5 billion people, are we short on people? Why have children? This is a pertinent question this morning. But the question, kind of a follow-up to that, might be this. If you have children, how do you raise children in a world as messed up and as evil as ours? Now, I know one way to approach this question is to say, well, you know, the world's not so bad. There's still good in the world. Watch the last 30 seconds of a news program. They'll give you some story of hope. There's some good things in the world. But I'll say this. I'm sympathetic to this question. This is a rough and evil world. If you've identified this world as messed up and evil and rough, you've identified it correctly. That's what this world is. And although we grow numb and blind to it, that is reality. A few weeks ago, if you were watching at services online, you may remember this Wednesday night class I did about a zombie apocalypse. I've only done one of those. I don't think there's another one that I've done. It's a very weird... Janet Locke rolled her eyes when she heard the title. She's like, oh, brother. But will there be a zombie apocalypse? I asked that question, which is kind of a dumb question, but it gets to something that is not dumb. As I pointed out, will there be a zombie apocalypse? No. For 10,000 reasons, there won't be a zombie apocalypse. However, here's where it gets real. If we did experience a zombie apocalypse, we would be no worse off than we are right now this morning. Because human beings are worse than flesh-eating zombies. They really are. If you watch these series, that's usually what ends up unfolding, especially if it's a long, drawn-out series, is you start seeing these monsters, these scary monsters, but then as human beings get joined together in close proximity under extreme conditions, you find out it's far more dangerous in here than it is out there. And that's not fictional, that's reality. People are unpredictable. People will lie. People will cheat and will manipulate. That's something some mindless monster can't do. We are more evil and dangerous and cruel. If you think about this, I'll just say, put it this way. You look at human history, you go back to the news reports, human beings have been as cruel as they can possibly be. Not all human beings have been as cruel as they could possibly be, but humanity in itself has done as much damage as it could possibly do. We have tested the boundaries of our limitations of how cruel can we possibly be. If we can imagine it, we've done it. As I said that last week, that we would be no worse off if there was a zombie apocalypse, I meant exactly what I said. If you have questions about that, we can discuss it after the service. I meant what I said, and I can go into a lot more detail than what I did in a 40-minute lesson. That's the condition of humanity. I'll just put it this way. Maybe you've noticed this, but I have an extremely low view of humankind. Now, our culture just fell completely out of their chair in just complete unbelief that I would say such a thing. I have an extremely low view of humankind. I am less and less impressed with myself every day. And if I'm being honest this morning, I'm less and less impressed with you. I'm just trying to be as honest as I can be this morning. I think about what Jesus said in John chapter 2, verse 23 through 25. You may say, think, well, you know, God would not like you talking this way. Go to John chapter 2, if you would, the next slide. This is what Christ said very early on in His ministry. As He was doing miracles and all these crowds of people, all these human beings were coming to Him and they loved Him so much and they were going to worship Him and all these things. Listen to what Jesus says, or what John writes about Jesus here. It says, now when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover, and the feast day, many believed in His name. Fantastic! They're believing upon Jesus when they saw the miracles which He did. But Jesus did not commit Himself unto them. Now, why would He not? I mean, they've come to believe upon Him, to worship Him, but He would not commit Himself to them. Why would He not commit Himself to them? Because He knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for He knew what was in man. They're fickle. Jesus Christ, in His omniscience, knew that person who's saying, Jesus, You're so wonderful. The Messiah has come. He knows in 3 years, that person will say, crucify Him, crucify Him. That's humanity.
And you see, it would be better if they just said in the beginning, crucify Him, crucify Him. But they turned on Him. They betrayed Him. They said one thing, but they really meant something different in their heart. But what they were saying was, as long as you feed us and bless us, then we're going to worship you. But the moment that you say something we don't like, we're going to kill you. That's humanity. That's humanity. The Apostle Paul, I referenced this a few weeks ago, said, in me, talking about himself, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I read Paul saying that, and I say this, Paul, it's not just you. I'm telling you this morning, in me, Jordan, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I know what I am. After 38 years, I look in the mirror and I look out the window, and I'll be honest, frankly, I'm not impressed. I'm more likely to be depressed than impressed. Do you know why? Because it's not impressive. You look out the window and everybody's trying so hard to impress you, it's not impressive. And I'll turn and look in the mirror and I'm trying to impress everybody else. I want everybody to love me and to think highly of me and to hold me in high esteem. And I look in the mirror and it's not impressive. I'm not impressed because it's not impressive. You see, we have a tendency to be very impressed with ourselves. High self-esteem, self-affirmation, it's really delusion and denial. It's me remembering all the good things I've done and completely forgetting all the bad things I've done. Remembering myself at my best moments, how could God send someone like me to hell, and forgetting everything I've done at my worst moments? That's what you call denial. I forgot about those things. I turn a blind eye to those things. It's delusion. I'm wonderful. Doesn't everybody recognize it? Certainly God recognizes it. How wonderful that I am. We have a tendency to be very impressed with ourselves. But it's not based in reality. I am not impressed with humanity. However, let me tell you who I am very impressed with. And I'm becoming more impressed with Him every second of every day. Do you know who that is? It's God. I find Him incredibly impressive. So when I say I don't find you impressive, see, I've encountered God now. And so if Donald Trump walks in this room, I'm not impressed by a dying 70-something-year-old man. I'm impressed with the infinite God. I'm very impressed with Him. And I'm impressed with His Son, Jesus Christ. I find them extremely impressing, and they impress me more every second of every day. I'm actually blown away by God, and I'm blown away by Christ. And you know, God has some thoughts on motherhood, and I'm all ears. Motherhood, what's the point? God has some thoughts on motherhood. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Verse 27 through 28. Genesis 1, this is the first chapter of the Bible. Genesis 1, 27 through 28. It says, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. That is your nature. That is who you are. You can reject it. You can believe it. But that's your nature. You're created in the image of God. You're a being created in the image of God. Verse 28. He created a male and female. Verse 28. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. That's a statement on motherhood. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. What you find in this scripture is this. I mean, this is, you understand, this is it. This is your history. If you do genealogies, if you are curious where you come from, I'll promise you this, it's going to lead back to what I just read. That is where you come from, and that's where I come from. That's where we all come from. All of humanity. This is very early on, and what God is saying here is that motherhood is absolutely foundational to humanity. There is literally no humanity without it. Motherhood is foundational to humanity, and therefore motherhood is extremely important. Why would you want to bring children to this world? God said motherhood is extremely important. It is foundational to humanity, and therefore extremely important. Let me ask you a question. The Ten Commandments. What's the fifth commandment? Honor your father and mother. There's only 10. And God makes it a point right there in the middle to say, I'm commanding you, I'm telling you, as the infinite God, I am decreeing and commanding you honor your father and mother. Out of Exodus 20, but Paul, writing to the Christians at Ephesus, Paul reminds the Ephesian Christians of this truth in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. This doesn't just apply to Israelites coming out of Egypt during the Exodus under Moses in 1400 BC, 3400 years ago. This applies to all of humanity for all time, including us as Christians. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 says, children, obey your parents. I think Dina knows that one. She's quoted it for about 40 years, I guess, with kids up here at Bible school. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You see, God has some thoughts on motherhood. Verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it might be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. God decrees that motherhood is foundational for humanity. It's extremely important and it's worthy of honor. That's a good reason to have Mother's Day. If it's important to God, it better be important to us. God has decreed motherhood as foundational for humanity, extremely important and worthy of honor. And by the way, God's decrees are the only ones that matter. And they bear infinite weight. Do you know why the government's decrees matter? Because God said they matter. God told me as a Christian, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, to respect those who are in authority. That's why what they say matters. Otherwise, it would not matter. God gives all authority. I put it this way, when you try to be an authority outside of God, what you're saying doesn't matter. Especially when a human authority, when a governmental authority wants to contradict the command of God, forget you. It's what God says. God is the only authority. His decrees are the only ones that matter. Mine don't matter. Yours don't matter. The governments don't matter, except for in light of what God says. They matter as far as what God says about them. God is the one that gives them authority. God decrees that motherhood is foundational for humanity, extremely important and worthy of honor. And God's decrees are the only ones that matter. They literally bear infinite weight. With the same authority with which God said, let there be light. And there was light. And that's why this universe is here. He said, you better honor your father and mother. You'll be held accountable for that. So, what's the point of motherhood? Now that's asking a rhetorical way, as if there is no point, but I love answering rhetorical questions like, you know, I brought up a few several months ago about, you know, a teenager's idea of, ah, who cares? I'll answer that question. Ah, who cares? I'll answer it. In some cases, I care. In a lot of cases, God cares. Don't ask who cares unless you want an answer. And don't ask motherhood, what's the point? I'm glad you asked. What's the point? The glory of God's the point. That's the point. The glory of God. I'm glad you asked. What's the point of motherhood? Why would you bring children to this world? The glory of God who created and invented motherhood for His glory. The glory of God just like everything else. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. This is Paul's, it's kind of a summary and concluding statement about you know, eating meat offered to idols and all these different things, these different opinions. And this is what he says, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That is not just a summary statement of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that's a summary statement of all of reality. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You flip over also to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. Listen to what this says. It says, if any man speak, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, or let him speak as God has given him what to say. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, if any man serves, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. So what he's saying is, if you're going to speak, speak what God has given you to speak. Speak it accurately and honestly and truthfully in accordance with His Word. And if you're going to serve, if you minister, if you're going to serve, do it with the strength that God provides. You see how everything goes back to God? All of this is God-centered. It goes on and says this, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. As I was saying these past few weeks, everything is Christ-centered. Everything is God-centered. But as we read these things, not only does God, has He decreed the importance and honor of motherhood. Not only has He decreed it, but listen close. We're going to wrap up here in just a second. He has also perfectly modeled it for us. How many, let me ask this question. How many statements did Jesus make from the cross as recorded in Scripture? Seven statements. There are seven things that God said it's important. This is the most critical moment, I would say in all of human history. 6 hours as Christ hung on the cross. He said seven things that the Holy Spirit said, these are things that we need to know even today. Seven statements. Do you want to hear one of them? Go to the next slide, if you would, Julie. There might be a double of that one. Go ahead. John 19, verse 25 to 27. As Jesus is in the act of being executed upon the cross, listen to what he says. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. It goes on in verse 28 and says, And when Jesus knew that everything was done, everything was fulfilled, that had to be said. Christ was not going to die until that could be said. Do you know what he's doing? He's honoring his mother. He's taking care of his mother. He's loving his mother. Seems pretty important to me. Because it seems pretty important to God. If it's important to God, it's important to me. And it should be important to you. It had better be important to you. God has decreed that motherhood is foundational for humanity. It's extremely important and it's worthy of honor. And He has given us the perfect example of what that looks like. As we close this morning, I'm going to ask Bill and the singers to come and get a song. Motherhood matters to God. And if it matters to God, it matters. If it matters to God, it matters. If something doesn't matter to God, it doesn't matter. That's the criteria. Do you understand that? If it matters to God, it matters. If it doesn't matter to God, it doesn't matter. I have a trivia question. Who won the NCAA men's basketball tournament in 2019? Anybody know? Anybody? Who won the NCAA tournament's men's basketball tournament last year in 2019? University of Virginia. Who won this year? Nobody. Nobody won. That's what got my attention about COVID-19, when they said When someone told me they canceled the NCAA tournament, I said, what'd you say? They canceled it. Canceled it. Typed it in, sure enough. Typed it in again and said, how much money is $1 billion? $1 billion was made on the 2019 tournament, which means there would be more made this year, over $1 billion. Canceled. Do you know what? I'm going to say this. I'll qualify, but I don't think God cares. I don't think He cares that the tournament was canceled. Now, I understand that that's people's livelihood who possibly are Christians who God is providing for, and He's going to help them through that hard time. I don't want to downplay that. I know that this is a career for people. But at the same time, I think God doesn't care. Do you know why He doesn't care? Because it doesn't matter. Play it next year. Or don't. It's $1 billion. But it doesn't matter. You're talking about tens of millions of people who would have tuned in and watched this. You know, millions of people who would have been probably in attendance, or probably at least hundreds of thousands of people who would have been in attendance for this tournament. All this focus, all of this notoriety, all this coverage, all this money, but it doesn't matter. Now I'll say this, no one will ever become a billionaire by being a mother. In fact, it'll probably be the opposite. You're going to lose money in this endeavor. No one's ever going to make $1 billion in motherhood or in being a mother, but it matters. That doesn't mean it doesn't matter. There are things that are such a big deal, supposedly in this world, that do not matter. And there are things that are completely ignored and forgotten about. And I'm telling you, they matter. Motherhood matters. It matters more than we know. And God may be sending us some reminders right now, at this time in history in particular. Motherhood matters. Being a mother matters. Therefore, do it the best you possibly can. Give it everything you've got. Do it the best you can. Why? For the glory of God. For the glory of God. Do it the best you can. I know it's going to be imperfect, but God can help you in the imperfections too. God can forgive the imperfections too, and can work with you and help you. Serve in the strength that He provides, as 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11 said. Serve in the strength that He supplies. Do it the best you can for the glory of God. And this is where it applies to everybody in this room. I would also say this: honor and love your mother the best you can. Why? For the glory of God. It all goes back to the glory of God. We're going to stand and close with that this morning.